Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. This is our text. My dear friends, what was your favorite childhood game? Now I'm going to give you a few options. There was Red Rover, Kick the Can, Tag, King of the Mountain, Cowboys and Indians, Hopscotch, Musical Chairs, Leapfrog, Water Fights, and I know I left out my favorite, Hide and Go Seek. Oh, love playing Hide and Go Seek, especially at my cousin's house near Spalding, Nebraska, out on their ranch where it was like pitch dark outside. It was awesome. Hide and Go Seek is quite easy, isn't it? One person is it, you have to stand in a predetermined location, and you got to start counting a predetermined amount of time while everybody else is allowed to hide. It is awesome. Now, no one ever tells them how fast or how slow you can count. Most generally, it went really fast, and you didn't get much time to hide at all. But when the person finally said, ready or not, here I come, you knew if you weren't hid, you were going to be it. What does this have to do with our text today? That's a good question. And the answer would be, is as Christ prepares return, the voice, the cry will come out, the bridegroom is here, come out and see. And now we're in a time of preparation. Is there oil in our lamps? Are we living the life in Christ? Are we prepared for that cry? Ready or not, here Christ comes. But there's only really one problem. As we reach the end of this church year, we're reminded every year that the end of the world will one day come, Christ will return. And as Jesus talked to folks in his day, shortly after his death, they thought that Christ would return within their generation. Now Jesus has been gone for quite some time. And we get to our generation, we begin to stand back and say, well, wait, man, is he ever going to come back? Or is it even true? But the reality is, you look through Scripture, Mark tells us that no one knows about that day or hour when Christ will come back. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come. So with that thought in mind, I want to suggest as a theme, ready or not, here Christ comes. If you looked and listened to the gospel lesson of the day, you got a picture of 10 virgins and their lamps and the bridegroom and all that stuff that went along went about a wedding in those days. But the reality was their way of doing weddings is far different from ours. Because the groom would become engaged to the bride, and then some commentaries said a week, 2 weeks, some said a year would go away and prepare the new house for him and his bride. And when he was finished, he would come back and get his bride, and all the virgins in town would gather together, and their lamps would be lit, and they would kind of lead the way and celebrate this new marriage and lead to the house of the new groom. And there they would literally party for like a week. It was amazing. A lot different from our day, isn't it? And that day it was all about the groom. Today it's really all about the bride. In fact, the groom's kind of just like a fixture. You expect them to be there, but there's not an attention on them. It's about the dress, let's be honest. And they come down the aisle and all those things happen, but in those days, it was about the coming of the groom. When is he coming? And all that anticipation that went into it. But the reality was it would be a major faux pas for a virgin to show up with not enough oil. If her lamp is not lit when the bridegroom or the groom came, she would not be allowed to come in. She would be kind of like a contemporary wedding crasher. You're just here for the food and the drink, and you're not one of the, you're not a part of our party. In the words of the bridegroom of the groom today was, away, I don't even know you. As I thought about that text, and I confessed in the first service, I might as well confess to you too, I had more time this week to work on this sermon than I can remember. And the more I worked on it, the more I realized that I don't know if there was a good way to go about it. I really struggled with it, really up until the last moment. And I thought, how does this text apply to you? I thought thought one of the things as we prepare for the return of Christ and that great festival day when the archangel cry and the trumpet blast and Christ returns in all of his glory to judge the living and the dead, what a joyous day that will be. How are we prepared for it? Now the reality is that at times we have really good intentions. Really good intentions. In fact, when you get to this time of year, January 1st, you're going to make all these New Year's resolutions. And if yours is like mine, it's like, I want to lose weight and I want to get in shape. And so I'm going to have to buy some equipment to do it, right? My wife has a treadmill, I have a stationary bike, but there's something I can buy to make myself more strong and more fit. You just watch. I bet this Christmas you'll get yourself a stationary bike or an exercise ball or a weight set or a treadmill or one of those fancy elliptical machines. But what happens by the end of January? You have all these good intentions of getting on it, but the problem is that stuff doesn't work unless you use it. You can have all the good intentions you want, but unless I actually commit some sweat, equity to it, nothing's going to happen. I'll be even bigger next year. Now, I was talking to an elder earlier this week about exercise equipment, and I won't say who it was, but he says they got a fancy elliptical machine that they bought, spent quite a bit of money on it. The reality is it makes a really nice clothes hanger in the utility room. Don't laugh, because I bet you have one there too, don't you? Good intentions. We have them. We want to do it. And we do that not only physically, but we do it spiritually. We have all these grand visions of what we want to do when it comes to our spiritual well-being. Pastor, I want to be in God's Word. And so therefore, I want to read through the Scriptures this year. I want to get on a board. I want to serve in the church. And I'm going to be in church every Sunday. I have every intention to be here. But then what happens? It's called life. You know, as the elders begin that process of going through the roster of our church, for members that have been away for over 2 years, they haven't been here for over 2 years, we begin to make those phone calls, and I make a lot of them, and I text and talk to people and I ask them where they're at, and praise be to Jesus, I saw some today. It was awesome. But then there's others that basically, I have a whole list of reasons why. And they're not, I'm not going to use the word excuses, but there's reasons. Pastor, I have every intention, but I'm just not there yet. But if my good intentions are good for me physically, will they actually touch me spiritually? Is it just enough to have the desire, or is it something I have to long for, reach for, grab a hold of? Dear friends, the clock is ticking. Ready or not, here Christ comes. But if it's not that whole idea of good intentions, how about procrastination? Now, I am the king of procrastination. And if you look at the virgins that are gathered there, they're all virgins, which is a sign of purity. So my translation would be, they're all a part of the church of Christ. You cannot tell them apart. They all have lamps. They're all dressed the same. They're all there gathered waiting for the bridegroom to come. But there's only one problem. The Greek for the word foolish is, we get the word moron from. Five of them were morons. Why? Because they didn't bring oil in their lamps. Now, did they know that how long the bridegroom would be before he showed up? No, they had no idea when he was going to show up. Did they know that he could be delayed? Absolutely. But they took it upon themselves to wait. I have plenty of time. Dude, the shops are open. I got plenty of time to get enough oil to last a lifetime. But you know what? I'll get to it later. Hey, it's not that important. Do I have to do it like right now? Now I want you to notice something. As these foolish or moronic bridegroom or virgins find out that they're trimming their lamps and they're not burning. And they're not going to be allowed into the feast if they're not burning. And so they looked to the ones that were wise and brought the oil and says, give us some of yours. We want some of yours. To apply that to your faith this morning, we would confess, I believe. Why do we say I believe and not we believe? Because don't we believe the same stuff? Why don't we just say we believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth? It's us. It's a body. It's a confession. It's a group. Because you can't believe for somebody else. You have to have faith yourself. It's not something you can just take away from someone else. Well, our family's been a member of the congregation for as long as I can remember. We're baptizing them for. They're founders of this congregation, for Pete's sake. Pastor, we're in. Well, the reality is, our procrastination ultimately leads to pretty devastating results. Many times we're no different than them foolish maidens. How often have we concerned ourselves with something else? Maybe it's our retirement fund, or maybe it's just the kids are all my focus, and all the sports events and all the things that they're doing. We need to be there for that. Or maybe it's my grades, and I don't have time to come. I got a job. I can't do those. I can't be in church all the time. And we just kind of procrastinate. I'll do it later. Everything's always later. Well, ultimately, like sermons, the clock ultimately rings. And I got to stand in the pulpit and preach, and so I can't procrastinate forever. Sooner or later, the words have to be formed and massaged for a message for you, and it's about 8:20 in the morning. It has to be done. Oh, there's some days I dread 8:20. I'm thinking, Lord, have mercy. But the reality is when we procrastinate, we don't live our life according to God's plan. We have our eyes on everything else. We're not thinking, the clock is ticking. Ready or not, here Christ comes. But if it's not only in the fact that we have good intentions, we procrastinate, there are times we love to cram, right? You ever cram for a test, or am I the only one? I know at the seminary, we have some pretty big exams, and they give us the syllabus at the beginning of the quarter system then. And I know exactly when everything was due. But what you do is you study a little bit here, but in the end it's like, I'm just going to stay up all night. I'm going to write that paper down. I'm going to do it all tonight. And you drink like Red Bulls, and just to stay awake to get it done. Any students here do that today? We just cram in an attempt that I'm going to be prepared, but I'm going to do it at just the last minute. And I think of all those folks that live their lives in the same way. Pastor, you know what? You have a nice church, you have nice people there, but the reality is, it's good enough my name's on the roster, but the reality is I don't have time for that. I'll wait till the very last moment, and when my health begins to get bad, and then I'll show up, and I'll be a part of the body of Christ. But the reality is, we don't know when the end comes. Are you and I prepared? There's no time to procrastinate. We don't know when the Master will arrive and start the celebration, but we do know one thing for sure. He's coming. And no amount of good intentions, no amount of procrastination, no amount of cramming at the very last will do anything about our spiritual life that we have in Christ. Are we prepared? Well, the reality is that the message that Jesus gave is, it likens to a story about Sir Ernest Shackleton. Perhaps you remember him as an Englishman who was an explorer of the Arctic. In fact, he took an expedition there, and he wrote like an ad in the paper that said, you know, you want a dangerous job, the chance of returning is nil, very, very limited, and not a very rosy picture, but if we come back, you'll be heroes. He had over 1,000 men sign up that want to go with him, and when they finally got on the trip, they were trapped in the ice, and the ship was cracked open, and they were basically in the middle of nowhere. Well, in 1912, that Arctic explorer left some of his men on an isolated island called Elephant Island. He told me back for them after he got rescue, but he was delayed. In fact, it was, I think, 700 miles from where they were to where the whaling station was. And we got to the whaling station area. They were on the wrong side of the island. There was a 32-mile walk they had to take, and he did it in 36 hours, nonstop, to get help. And then they had to come all the way back, and 3 attempts to try to get to Elephant Island were unsuccessful. And finally, the 4th one, there was an opening in the ice, and they were able to sail the boat through, rescue the men. And when they got there, they found out that all of the men were packed and ready to go. When they got onto the ship and began their trip back to England, Shackleton asked them, "How did you know when to be ready?" And they told him they didn't know when he was going to return, but they were sure that he would. So every day the leader rolled up his bedroll and packed all of his gear and told his crew to do the exact thing. And he, quote, "Get your things ready, boys. The boss may come today." And that crew did that for 22 months. Every single day. This morning as we gather in this place, I think the thing I want you to go home with is, do I have oil in my lamp? Am I prepared? Maybe the first thing we need to understand is, what is oil? You remember that song from VBS? Give me oil in my lamp, keep it burning. You remember that? Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. I'm the only one apparently. I guess it helps to be Baptist when you know those songs, right? But the reality is, the oil in the lamp is faith. And how exactly do you have faith to be prepared for the coming of Christ? If you look at Luther's explanation to the third article, I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in my Lord Jesus Christ or come to Him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with His gifts. So the way that the Holy Spirit prepares you for the coming of Christ is through word and sacrament. Through God's word proclaimed to you that calls you a procrastinator, a person full of good intentions, someone who loves to cram for the last minute. All of them apply. But at the same time, that beautiful gospel comes back and says, through the blood of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. You are a new creation. How do you believe it? Through faith. And it's not something that you conjured up on your own. It's something that God has given unto you. But as a brother or sister in Christ, it's our desire. It should be our desire to be gathered around that word and sacrament every chance we get to be able to eat the body and blood of Christ, to strengthen me for all the times when I just want to put everything off, to know that He gives me strength to live my life, to hear my pastor say that my sins are forgiven, even when that old sinful nature in me says, oh, your sins aren't forgiven. Don't listen to him, but they are. Dear friends, this morning as you leave this place, I want you to leave with that thought in mind, that your lamp is full because of Christ. So ready or not, here He comes. Amen. We rise together. May the peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.